Good morning, I'd like to remind our parties. Today's conference is being recorded. If anyone has any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Thank you very much. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is the Jazz Call on the 2nd of September. And on the line today, we have Rafik Damak, Tijani Benjima, John Ramankran is on the Adobe Connect room, Avery Doria, Evan Labovich, Alan Greenberg, and for staff, we have Rob Hogarth, Carla Valente, Seth Green, and myself, Glenda Sanchery. We have apologies from Carlton Samuels, Alex Gokuru, Dev Anand Tiluk Singh. And has anybody else noted any apologies? If not, may I then just remind everybody to say their name before speaking for the transcription purposes. And thank you very much, and over to you, Rafik.
Thank you, Glenn. Thank you for everybody for attending this call today.
Sorry, we've just had Krista Papak that has joined. Thank you, Rafik.
Hello, Krista. So, first I would remind everybody to send his DOI or SOI if there is any update. For the agenda, it looks short, but hopefully we'll have a lot of discussion. So the only change is that we will start it with the comments from working group members, and then we go to the executive summary. Is there any objection? Okay, let's start with the comments. So they are in the, let's say, flagged in the document. So I hope that everybody has the document open. So, and we can start with the first comment. Seth, can you just remind us about the first comment?
Certainly, Rafik. People are going to have to open up the actual document, if you don't mind, to see the comments. If everyone could do that, I'd appreciate it. The first comment is, I take it people can understand me without too much of an echo. If you go to page 2 of the, page 5 of the document, the first comment is under support evaluation, part B. Are there support candidates applying just for non-financial support? If so, are these evaluated by the SARP as well? So that's just a straightforward question for the group.
Thank you, Seth. I am just reading a suggestion from Rob in the chat. What do you mean by an overview that you want to give us an overview of what the staff did after the last call?
Yes, this is Rob. I was trying to encourage Seth to do that, but I realized he was probably reading another document and not reading the chat comments.
Oh, sorry, Rob, yes. Let me see.
Just to be clear, the version we're working on is the one dated the 30th?
Yes, that's right, Alan.
Okay, thank you.
In the last, as far as an overview goes, to create the document that you're looking at, the one that Alan just mentioned is dated 2011-08-30. What we did was we incorporated the latest comments. I believe they were from Alan, Avery, and Carlton. And we also added those were throughout the document. We also added an executive summary at the beginning of the document. And for today's meeting, if we could go through the comments that are that came from a combination of the staff and the members themselves, then also look at the executive summary, that would put us pretty well on schedule for our deadline. The comments along the right side of the document are a combination of more conceptual questions that at least the staff, we're not quite sure you've resolved yet, so we'll need probably some discussion, Rafiq, and a decision on what the final consensus is, all the way to just simple questions that came up during the writing of the sections or at some point, and they probably could just take very quick answers, such as this first one. So that brings us back to this first question, and that is on page 5. Does everyone see those along the right-hand side?
Yes. So the first comment is about are the support quantities applied just for non-financial support? So if I can give answer, yes. And, okay, they can be evaluated by the SAR, but it depends how those non-financial support will be provided, because mostly for some of them, the ICANN maybe can play only the broker rules. And I think we thought that the support, either financial or non-financial, should be provided as a package, but it also depends to the applicant needs.
Thank you.
Okay, so Avery.
Rafiq, it's Alan. Did you really mean they are applying just for non-financial support?
I think it's an exceptional case, but it can happen. So, okay.
Can you clarify your question, or Seth, rather? I read the question, are they applying just for financial support? And Rafiq answered, are they allowed to apply for just non-financial?
Yes, Alan. I the question basically is a combination of both. Can candidates apply just for non-financial support? For example, you know, non-financial support, assistance filling out the application, but not for actually a fee reduction. And then, in fact, on the other end of the coin, is just non-financial support something that would be awarded without financial support? You know, would a match be made to someone donating those services even for candidates not asking for financial support? I assume the answer, I mean, I understood Rafiq's answer, providing that's what the work group wants it to be.
Okay, I didn't understand the question. Now we should go back to the queue, I think. Sorry.
Thank you, Alan. We will start with Avery. Avery, go ahead.
Okay. First a question. Will we also be reviewing all this new text that's here? And we're comments be going through that. And then just to I think, support your question, I think people could apply. I think they'd have to meet the same requirements, but I think someone could apply for, non-financial support. I think, though, that we have to understand, and I think the issue that we have to really answer is the matchmaker program or the clearinghouse program only for those approved by the SARP? And I would think the answer is yes. Certainly other people could look at that list and matchmakers and go and talk to someone themselves about making a deal and getting help with whatever. But I think that the wiki's public, anybody can look at it, anybody can see who's offering, and, who need something and operate outside of the context. But I think any services provided by ICANN or any other groups set up to support, the qualified applicant needs to be just for them, and entry has to be via the SARP. So I don't know if that nuances the answer that Rafiq gave, but that's sort of the way I'd be looking at it. Thanks, and I'll get back to the comments that I have on the other stuff when we get to it.
Thank you. I think that we are not so different on what we said. Tijani, please go ahead, and then we have Alan, and then Evan.
Thank you. Thank you. Even if it is, it will be perhaps exceptional, but if someone asks for non-financial support, he can ask. There is no problem. But any kind of support, any kind, financial, non-financial, any kind of support must go through the evaluation of the SARP. The SARP has the key for all kind of supports. Thank you.
Anna?
Okay. I support that someone could just apply for non-financial support. I suspect, however, based on our criteria, they would get rejected outright because they don't meet the financial criteria. Even though they're not claiming to have financial need, we still have it as a prime criteria. So if we mean that people could apply for just non-financial support, we may want to go back and make sure that our criteria are worded properly. The other question that Rob asked, or this is Rob or Seth, somebody asked, is can the SARP get a request for both financial and non-financial, but only grant financial, or rather non-financial support, that is, not grant the fee reduction and any other financial support? I'd never thought about that before. I suspect the answer is yes, they should be able to do that. But I don't know if we've ever discussed that before. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Yes, Jenny?
Thank you. So as for the remark of Alan concerning people who will ask for non-financial support, that they will fail their criteria, if they are not needy, they will not get any support. So needy applicants may ask for anything they want. Financial, not financial, it's not a problem. But they have to pass those criteria. Thank you.
Okay. Avery?
Yeah. Thank you. On the being needy and not, I mean, I can imagine situations where someone can actually pull out the fee and not be looking for specific financial support, but could also be unable to fulfill all of their business plan that includes, for example, starting RSPs and all that other stuff. So they have a financial plan where by the skin of their teeth they can come up with the fee, but they really need help pulling off the rest. They need licensing assistance and other things that may be able to come through the so-called non-financial support, because if they looked at buying everything you needed for an RSP, that would be beyond their means. But with the non-financial support of things like licenses and accesses and such, they could make it. So I think it's conceivable, and that's why I say it should be possible. I think Alan's right that, for the most part, you're going to want both, but I could just conceive of a way where they have part of it but not all of it, and they apply, so, and still count as needy, even though they might be able to pull off the application fee in their concept. Thanks.
Thank you, Avery. Alan?
Yeah, Avery captured part of it. We're setting up a situation here
where someone's going to have to claim financial need even if they don't need it, as Avery said, by the skin of their teeth, in order to get the non-financial support they really want. I'm not sure that's what we want. We're almost setting up a situation like you find in developed countries where someone is deemed by the government laws to be deemed not to be poor and therefore cannot get government aid but still can't feed their children, because the cutoff between what is deemed to be poor and what is really poor is not, don't overlap. So I'm just saying we should be aware of it. I think it's too late to change it right now. So I think people should be allowed to ask for non-financial aid without financial aid. I don't see how they're going to get through the sieve, and maybe that's just too bad. We didn't think of it early enough. I do think, however, as I mentioned, that we should, the SARP should be allowed, if someone asks for everything, to say, no financial aid. We think you could make it somehow, but we do understand that you need help in this, and this area. Bye-bye. That's it. Thank you. On that last point, I think we need consensus. People agree with me or disagree with me, so our editors can actually put some words in. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Evan?
Well, I guess, Alan, I'll be the one to disagree. I don't agree with what you've been saying, and I think I'm more along the lines of what Tijani was. When we first set out to do the criteria, the main criteria was you wouldn't be able to do it based on the standard applicant guidebook. An applicant would not be able to do it. It would be an obstacle. The price and other factors would be an obstacle. The criteria has as its primary issue financial need. Starting to anticipate scenarios where somebody has enough financial need that they would apply, but then we're going to sort of micromanage, well, they need this, but they don't need this. I just see us as just getting into an area that's unnecessarily complex here. Either they come in and they're in an area where the financial obstacles would not allow them to put in an application. Otherwise, we're trying to drop those barriers, and I think we're getting way too fancy for our own good here by going into all these, halfway scenarios.
Thank you, Evan. I am seeing a suggestion from Seth that we may hold off on this related discussion and try to cover all comments. But we still have some people in the queue. Then we have Tijani and then Alan.
Okay, thank you. People who are not financially in need can buy any kind of service. So if they don't pass the financial need criteria, they will not get any kind of support. Thank you.
Okay. Alan?
Yeah, okay. I just want to say for the record, I don't really disagree with what Evan said. I made a definitive statement to get the discussion going, and I'm quite happy with going out of this, that financial need is absolutely required. I didn't hear a definitive answer on can the SARP grant just non-financial need if they disagree with that financial need is needed. I think I'm hearing a tone saying if financial need is not there, the SARP has to say no, period, regardless of what else was asked for. And again, I'm happy with that. I'm just trying to get to the point where it's clear what our consensus is. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Okay. I have some problem to access to Adobe Connect. So, we can, I think, following the suggestion of Seth, try to cover the other comments. Yeah? Yes. Okay. So your question was the consensus about this issue. I think we, at least we cannot say that we have a full consensus.
I think we do.
Yeah, I think we do.
I don't hear anyone arguing for the case that people should be able to succeed in applying without being deemed to need to have financial need. So financial need is a required criteria, and if the SARP decides they don't have financial need, then implicitly they don't qualify.
I thought we had discussed this a long time ago. I'm sorry, I've got an echo on my line. I tried to get it
everyone
fixed,
does.
But it hasn't. Okay. Maybe I missed something, but is there a case that we're thinking of where people would qualify without financial need?
Andrew, the question was asked before you got on the call, I think, just for
my apologies.
And we've talked about a number of scenarios. I think everyone is agreeing on that right now, that without financial need, you don't qualify, period.
Okay.
So I guess we can move. The next comment.
Can I ask a question before we move on?
Yes, Avery.
Okay, I think this is going back, but I'm just curious. In financial support in the text, C says deferment of continuity instruments and development funding. I'm curious as to what it means for the to be the same point, and is that implying an implication between the two of them, or is that just C and D weren't broken apart for some reason? And I don't understand the juxtaposition.
Can you give us a pointer to where?
Under financial support, point C. In this executive summary,
Aubrey, we are going to, I think, discuss the executive summary.
Oh, we're going to discuss that. Okay, I was just worried that we were moving away from here. Never mind.
Okay, just we start with comments and then we go to the executive summary. Okay. I'm not.
So we're now on the first comment for D under SEP.
We are still in the page 5.
Point C.
I see. Okay. D. Yeah.
Seth, which question are you still are we now talking about? Which one do you still need guidance on?
My understanding, let's see, Alan, we are at question under SEP. We're at the question associated with point C.
Exactly.
Okay, can we add what level of consensus?
Yes.
Can I comment on this question?
Yes, Abby.
I think that the answer was yes, if you want to include each and every one of those elements is the bullet point underneath it. So if you're going to break that up, other guidelines, so is the ABA underneath that, the ABA, C, D, whatever. So if all those guidelines are there, you can. Otherwise, you know, you'd have to say something perhaps that each of the guidelines received had its own level of consensus. But if you want to list them all, I don't see any reason why you couldn't. Thank you.
Thank you.
Actually,
a typographical question. The one labeled A bracket, I assume, is supposed to be C point?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Rafiq, if I may?
Yes.
Could we just very quickly go through A, B, and C, and just quickly tell us what the levels of level of consensus for each one were, if people remember?
Okay. So we can start with A. If we can use the Adobe Connect, the vote, so it's really, if everybody agrees, so just show that in the Adobe Connect.
Excuse me, Rafiq, I'm trying to find out where exactly we are. Is it possible to put up what we're trying to do consensus on in the chat?
Top of page 5 in the document. They can't put it up.
Okay, top of page 5 in the one with the comments on it, or the other, or another one?
The one with the comments.
Okay.
Sorry, Rafiq, for jumping in.
Thank you, Robbie.
Okay, so for A, can we simply say full consensus?
Yeah, there is no disagreement, so we can, So, point B.
It looks like we can also say full consensus for B. I'm just trying to, Rafiq, I'm just trying to help, if you don't mind, move us along, because we do have many, many comments to go through this in this one-hour meeting. And I think it's most important that we actually get through all of them than that each one. I think the work group probably feels it's more important to get through all of them rather than to have each one ironed out perfectly. So I think it looks like from the Adobe Connect room, am I correct? Yeah, we only have Tijani with a thumbs up.
No, we took our thumbs down after you said there was consensus.
Okay, great. So B is for consensus as well. Thank you.
If no one yells out, I think you can assume or put the thumbs down.
If no one yells out, okay, great. So can we look at C, which is labeled A parentheses? And I hear no one yelling out, as Alan suggested. So we'll say full consensus for that. So that makes those three very easy. We could say, at least for those three, that there is a full consensus. Okay. If it's all right with everyone, let's go on to the next comment, which is under D with parentheses. Has this been decided that the outside experts would be both? Is that correct? The text was a little, I was a little unclear on this. It could certainly be my fault. Are the outside experts, there are going to be two categories of them. Some are going to be volunteer and others are actually going to be compensated, or rather contracted. So I assume without anyone...
You have to assume that, otherwise you're deeming the volunteers to not have any expertise. So.
Good. Okay. Thanks very much, Alan. Yes, that's right. I don't know about anyone else, but I was just thrown out of the Adobe Connect room. Is everyone still good in the Adobe Connect room?
I'm still there.
I'm still here.
Okay. I'm gonna go back in. The next comment was actually taken from the full text. It's the one AD suggested. Does everyone see that while I get back in the Adobe Connect room?
There's somebody who has a vacuum going on in the background. Is it possible to mute yourself?
I'm sorry, Andrew. Is that Andrew? That's me. I apologize. I've been trying to look for the mute, and I can't seem to find it yet.
Hard for you to mute when you're talking.
Yes, that's true. I found it, though.
The mute is star 6.
Thank you, Glenn. Does everyone hear better, or am I muted?
Yes.
Thanks. It's just hard with the echoes and such.
Sure. Okay, so we're up to the blue comment.
Well, be careful on that, Seth. We all have different colors.
Okay, forget the blue. We're up to the comment AD suggested. I suggest adding to the footnote something about using the gaming experts from ICANN who are able to recognize any and all methods of gaming ICANN systems. Does the added text address the comment? And that regard, that's regarding point D.
Avery, do you mean ICANN staff or ICANN?
No. I meant, and I had my hand up, but I meant to say yes, potential gaming patterns clause in there is fine in lieu of the footnote I was asking for. It's just the previous version didn't state or whatever, didn't explicitly bring that out, and I wanted to bring that out. But, yeah, no, it satisfies what I was looking for.
Yeah, I would hesitate saying that ICANN experts with staff or volunteer can recognize all forms of gaming.
Oh,
gamers are more inventive than that.
Some of our gamers are more inventive than you or I could ever possibly imagine. And they see them immediately. It's just like a person with perfect pitch hears a note that's out of place. They may not be able to think of to recognize them on sight. Obviously, all is always a problem. And I had always in that sentence, too.
Yes. Seth, I don't know whether you're including a sentence like that somewhere, but it shouldn't say we can recognize all methods if you are. Let's go on.
In fact, we should probably just eliminate the word all from the English language because it's never correct.
Have we lost Seth again? Or is he still off?
Oh, I'm sorry, I was muted, Alan. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
The next question is that Avery was asking, are outside experts also volunteers, which is similar to the earlier question, so we've covered that.
It's answered.
And then we're moving to the introduction. The next comment is, this is actually something, that Rob and I were discussing. And can we just decide right now what is the actual title of this report, and then we'll be able to use it consistently throughout, and we'll be able to come up with abbreviations for it that can be used consistently throughout. I'm going to go back on mute while you talk about that.
Final report, Doc.
This has to be the final report. We don't have any time to revise it. So the word draft has to be dropped.
So it is not. It is not.
We can always revise a final report, but this has to be deemed the final report.
Okay. There's no, Alan, there's no stage after this in which it's going to go through public comments or anything that
sure.
are then going to be.
Sure.
Yep.
But they comment on the final report.
Pardon me, Alan?
Yes.
But they will comment on the final report. If
okay.
for some reason we deem that a change has to be made afterwards and there's time to do it in our overall schema, then we'll have a revised final report.
Okay, terrific, terrific. And it's not the final milestone report. We're dropping the word milestone, I take it.
Our chat organization asked for final report, so
okay.
it's the final report.
Great. Thank you. Let's see. Now we have a few pages of no comments, thankfully. And we're back on page 11.
Yes, yeah, Seth, if you can just refer to paragraph numbers, that'll help folks.
Paragraph 21 at this point?
Yes, we're on paragraph 20. Thank you, Rob.
20 or 21?
Seth, going back to page 7 where you have a highlighted insert link here, as a matter of course, I would strongly recommend that you make that a link to the ICANN website, which could then point to a wiki if applicable. But wikis are transient over years, and reports should be usable 5 years later. So I personally object to having pointers to a wiki in a report. They can point to the website, which in turn points to the wiki if applicable.
Not that
but
the
wiki
ICANN
addresses
website
change.
Ever changes.
Pardon me?
Not that the ICANN website ever changes its organization.
Well, yeah, but they're responsible for keep the links working, in theory.
Alan, Alan, do I understand you say, you're saying that you think that all of the links should simply link to the main landing page for the ICANN website?
No. To an applicable page. If the content is really on the wiki, then it should point to somewhere on an ICANN website, which then points to the to the wiki, not direct links. Wikis are too transient. I'm going to replace Confluence in 4 years.
Okay. All right. I fear you don't think that would be a little confusing for people at this point, though, when they're using the report most rigorously?
You can go back afterwards and change them when it's archived. Your call. I don't really care. I'm just saying, for historic sake, I've gone back to old reports, and it's very frustrating when the links go off to nowhere.
Okay. Thanks, Al. Rob, I think, Rob, are you going to take over at this point until we get to the appendices?
You're saying that with, you know, the sound of great relief in your voice, Seth. I don't know. Sure, I'll be happy to.
Unfortunately, I apologize for the noise in the background. I am a bit relieved if I could put myself on mute.
Certainly. We're all just very vacuuming and editing at the same time, so thank you.
You're welcome.
Just turning to paragraph 20, section B, flat fifth, because on our last call, volunteer to try to provide us with text that if it satisfied everyone's, we would keep, and if it didn't.
Rob, you're cutting out.
I'm on a ICANN VOIP line. That may be the problem.
People have too much faith in technology.
That's right. Seth, why don't you do the next two? I will call in on a mobile line, which is probably more reliable.
Okay. Problem. No problem. I apologize for the actually, it's a leaf blower. But let's see. We're on page, if everyone could go to paragraph 20, point B, cost reductions to encourage the build-out of applications requiring strings in multiple IDNs, especially those related to underserved languages. That's one of the cost reduction types. And the comment is, after considerable discussion, AM, Andrew, is going to try to modify. If new text does not achieve workgroup's consensus, this subsection B will be eliminated. Andrew, you've just told me a few minutes ago, am I right, that you've sent the language?
Right. Alan and I worked on some language, which I sent to you last night.
Okay. We will put that language into the next version then, which will be ready for Tuesday, and we'll be able to review it then, okay?
And the language
that's fine. Sure. Seth, if you could just include it, that would be great. What I'd like to do is what we talked about that Aubrey suggested last time, which is take a look at it. If it doesn't get full consensus, we can decide whether to include it as a kind of not full consensus point or what to do. But I think it does fit a lot of the conversations we've had.
Andrew, may I make a suggestion? Would you like to just read that wording right now?
Sure. Okay. This is the wording that Alan and I came up with. It's additional cost reductions for JAS-approved applicants to encourage the build-out of applications requiring strings in multiple languages, especially those in scripts whose presence on the web is limited, dash, where multiple strings would support a single logical TLD and be viewed as part of a single entity.
Yeah, it won't get full consensus.
Thank you.
Alan, you want to ask a question?
No, I want to add a clarification. I said I would support something like that, although I think it's a bit late to introduce it now. I would support it, but it would have to have clarity that we're talking about a conceptual single TLD, that is, treat the multiple strings as variants. If I as a registrant buy a TLD, buy a second level domain, it for the same price I get both. It's not a second revenue stream for the vendor. It is treated as a variant would be in Chinese, for instance. Now that was the condition under which I would support it, and that would have to be clear in the report
for me to say that. Andrew and I were debating whether it should be in the text or a footnote, but I think that's an important concept.
It makes sense.
That it's a second character string mapping onto the same TLD.
That's fine for me.
Andrew, may I suggest that you revise the wording and resend it to Rob and myself?
Okay. Revise the wording to include the things that we talked about? That's good.
Yeah.
I can do that. Sure.
As I understand it, then it will have consensus, correct?
No, it will not.
No, certainly.
It most definitely
okay.
Avery, will not.
Avery, did you want to make any kind of comments that could help Andrew revise it so that it does, or no?
I have my hand up.
Okay.
I was just shouting out because you said the consensus word.
Okay. We have a queue, so I will manage that, okay? So, Avery, I think that she wants to express some disagreement and then I'll teach any.
Two things. First, also, please send your revised language to the list. But the more important thing is I had one reason to be against anything that was even euphemistically bundling before. I have a second reason for being against this one is the notion of a logical second TLD opens up the whole can of worms to say variants like the Chinese case opens up a whole can of worms that we cannot solve at the moment in the technical sphere of what that means to have two TLDs be a logical variant of each other and how that works and how one does that technically. And one is taking on either an incredible technical burden to do it or is taking on a continuing cost burden in terms of using operational and hand methods to try and link to TLDs, or we have to explain in detail that we, by logical variant, we do not mean a variant per se where there's aliasing and synchrony of TLDs, but we mean you get two different ones, but they're different, but et cetera. It's a mess, and as I say, I doubled my lack of agreement with the proposal by including logical variant. Thank you.
Thank you, Avery. Anna?
Yeah, I agree completely with Avery's second point. I was trying to keep this short and concise. The approval of something like this would presume that the technical issues have been addressed. Now, my understanding is there's a bunch of groups working on it, and there's a good chance they're going to report by Dekar. This is a group or groups that Dennis Jennings has been running. Without the automated way of addressing it, there's no way we can do it. So that was a presumption that would have to be there. I'm not disagreeing at all with Avery's second point.
Dennis's groups are just defining the problem. They're not solving the problem.
Okay. Well, my understanding was they were coming up with a proposal.
But it doesn't matter,
Avery. In the lack of a solution, then this is not a viable alternative.
Okay. Those groups are working on many issues related to variants. So I'm not sure that, as Avery said, it doesn't mean that they will find solutions. Okay, we have Tijani in the queue. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I have said, and we have said all several times during the work of this working group, that the bundling concept can be defended, can be advocated for, but not inside this working group, because this working group is for needy applicants to needy applicants. We will not give an applicant two strings and prevent other applicants to have the single one because he is needy. So it is out of the scope of this group, and I don't agree to include it. Thank you.
Okay. Clearly, we don't. Okay, Andrew. Yeah. Okay, please go ahead, and I will reply later. Andrew?
Yeah, sure. let's not waste too much more time on this. Let me see if I can come up with something that that might pass muster. If not, we'll come up with a plan B. But we don't. I don't think we need to go through more of this right now. I will circulate the language that we have to Seth and others. Maybe they could. Maybe the group can come up with some good ways to tweak this that might get at the point that we're trying to make. I'm happy to put this as a minority, as a minority perspective, or just take it out altogether if we can't come up with good language.
Thank you, Andrew. I think we have agreement that we disagree about that there is no. We agree that there is no consensus on this. It's a minority view, and yes, you should. If you think that it's important, you should to submit a minority report. Alan?
No, it's okay. I was just trying to come to closure on it. So if we don't have any additional support, and it doesn't sound like we do, but if we don't have any, then it's too late at this point to bring in a concept which had not been accepted earlier in the process. Perhaps unfortunate, but so be it. So let's go on.
Yes, Alan, we have discussed this many times, and there was no progress on that, so...
I did add a new twist to it this time, which has a technical problem associated with it. And, you know, I was asked to work with Andrew, so I did. But unless we have something resembling a partial consensus, not just one or two people, let's not spend more time on it. We have too many other things to do.
Thank you, Alan. I think Rob wants to ask a question to clarify this. Rob?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you. In light of it now appears that you're going to be deleting B, and we can talk in the drafting team about what the correct format should be for minority comments or statements regarding the report, what I'd recommend then is paragraph 20 is literally going to now be paragraph 20. 20A is going to end up being paragraph 20. That's going to be the primary recommendation of the working group in this section.
Rob,
yes.
A question for you. I still think that there's some value in this, even if it's a minority view, given the amount of time that we've discussed it and the amount of and the fact that this is partly, as Avery and Alan have said, this may not be as soluble now, but it's a future issue that I think is going to come down the pike. What about the possibility, as we've done in other places, of just including A and say full consensus, and B and say not full consensus, minority view or whatever it is.
If you all agree to that, I would propose you would have 20 being the full consensus recommendation, then a subsequent paragraph that says, and a minority of the working group members, wanted to say the following. Boom. And that's what I said in terms of format. That could be a separate statement. It could be in the bulk of in the body of the text. That's up to you guys as a working group.
And I also think we could use that. We could even reference some of the technical questions that that people in the group have mentioned that make it difficult to move forward with at this point.
You guys certainly have another call on Tuesday, and that can be just flag that as one of your agenda items, just to resolve that item in your final call.
Okay, so we have Q and this.
Mine is a quick question.
We keep talking
about 20, but in my version it looks like 21. Am I looking at the wrong draft?
Probably.
I'm looking at 2011-0830 that was sent out.
It's 20.B.
I've been looking at the – okay, to me it looks like 21.B. I must be looking at the wrong draft.
Cost reductions?
It's cost reductions, point 21 under financial support. Anyway, okay, the one I took from the email, I'll figure it out. Thank you.
Okay. So. Evidently, we don't have I don't agree with Ivan. It's we received a partial consensus. It's more minority than partial consensus. Yes, Rob, you want to ask a further question?
I was just going to continue the discussion. It seems as if you you still have a difference of opinion on that, so you may want to have a final resolution after you see whatever additional language Andrew's advocating for on Tuesday. What I wanted to note, just as a comment, anticipating that we might move to the next paragraph or two, is just as an overview, you'll recall that this was an area that we talked about on the last call. So you also see, particularly when Aubrey references paragraph 21, some other changes there. Recall there were some additional sections after that, and basically, given the working group's advice, we streamlined it all just into paragraph 21. So I welcome, you know, any concerns that people have about paragraph 21 as well. We didn't get any comments via email, but I hesitate to assume that because there weren't any that someone shouldn't have an opportunity to speak to it at this point. So I guess the question is just, are you all okay with paragraph 21? Then we can move to the next comment.
Okay. 21. Okay, I don't see any comment on that. So, where is the next?
I personally would have liked to see, it's Alan, would have liked to see more specificity, and maybe it's in the report since this is only the executive summary I think we're looking at. On how we would like to see continuity instruments changed, Rob, is there any more detail in the report itself?
We are in the body of the report, Alan.
Oh, we are. Okay. Yeah. If there's no reference anywhere else to the types of changes that we would like in the continuity instrument, I think that has to be somewhere.
Okay, I'm capturing that. I will double-check. I know that we discussed it in another section, but in the editing process, I don't know if that disappeared. So we will look at it with that in mind, and if there is not another reference, we'll propose some language that we can resolve on Tuesday.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. So in which page is the next comment?
I'm not going to reference colors. The next comment, comment 10, is paragraph 59. But before you all get to that, I also just wanted to flag for you the area around paragraphs 47 through 54. And in particular, that was an area of some conversation at the end of the working group call and during the drafting team call. And it primarily circulated around this support for third parties facilitated by ICANN. That's an area that if you looked at the red line, you see some substantial changes. There's less than there appears to be because I had some formatting issues and had to basically destroy the formatting and rebuild it for a couple of paragraphs. But what we did in that section, just as an overview for those of you who may have not been on the drafting call, is you'll recall that section was a bunch of lists. And with the blessing of the drafting team, I offered to do some introductory paragraphs to introduce some of those lists. And so a couple of those have been inserted into this section. The place where there was some substantial additional text and rewording involves paragraph 51 through 54 about IPv6 support. The drafting team asked us to, quote-unquote, I don't even think this is an American or a Canadianism, to de-weasel.
It's an Aubreyism.
An Aubreyism. Change the tone of the second paragraph with an IPv6 support. Candidly, what that did was, you know, once I did that, it really seemed like we needed just to rewrite that section. And so paragraphs 51 through 54 do reflect some more comprehensive rewrites. So I would invite those of you who haven't had a chance to look at that yet, and I don't suggest doing it necessarily on this call unless you have a specific point or two, is take a look at that. And, you know, if there are changes that we need to make over the weekend or prior to the Tuesday call, please let me know.
Rob, you mean that some rewording in the paragraph 52?
Well, what I did.
Correct?
Yes, I mean, basically, you know, what was clear from the discussion you all had on Tuesday was that there wasn't a lot of clarity in what the working group said about IPv6 support in the draft. It's not that you didn't reach it as a working group, but it just wasn't expressed clearly. And so, for example, in paragraph 52, you know, we just came right out in the drafting to say, look, the working group thinks that there are three substantial hurdles, boom, 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 A, B, C, and then tried to, you know, have the de-weaseled language in paragraphs 53 and 54. And my only concern is, as all of you should have, it's new text. So if it's not as artfully described or if we've missed a nuance from some of your conversations, I certainly want to correct or clarify that. I was kind of reluctant to introduce new text this late in the drafting process, but this section just seemed to screen for it. So, again, no one needs to comment today on it, but if you submitted some written comments or something, that would be great.
I think we have comments from Adam.
Yeah, my comment is very quick. On a very brief reading, it looks like certainly 52 and 53 look pretty clean. I haven't looked at the long 54 one, which may still have weasels hiding it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Alan? Okay.
And then, Rafiq, the next substantive comment for you all to discuss was some issues that initially Andrew raised and then Aubrey responded to up in paragraph 59.
Which paragraph?
59.
5-9, okay. Well,
I don't know if you want Andrew to sort of address his concern there.
I can do that quickly if you'd like.
Sure, that'd be great, thanks.
Sure, I totally get the desire to have transparency. The question is only whether someone who is offering non-financial support will necessarily want to. The thought is this: is that if we get somebody who might be willing to offer non-financial support, but they have a limited amount of that bandwidth to offer, they may It may be possible for them to do that for one group of people that they're close to, and not for another group of people or whatever. I wouldn't want it to be a situation where we discourage them from offering that support because of the need to publicize more of the data than they're comfortable with. That's all. I think I captured that correctly.
Hello?
Yeah, I think I tend to agree with Andrew. I think we need to give the support, the someone saying they are willing to offer support, the right to pick and choose, essentially, based on their own criteria, which may not be published. I don't know how we word that, but, you know, we've always talked about that donors may have their own set of rules. And clearly, they publish them in whatever way they want to. In this section, where I think we're talking about the advertisement of donors, a donor should be able to specify that they have criteria which they will judge without specifically saying what they are. I think we need to give them that prerogative. So I think the word needs to say that.
There also may be a situation in which they will offer, you know, they might offer some support to a candidate and then a different level of support to a secondary candidate, either one that they're less closely connected to, or if they've run out of the, you know, that which they can do for very cheap, the stuff that they can do for slightly less cheap, or whatever would be the equivalent of that, you know. The point is we wouldn't want to discourage them by making them have to publish it in front of the world.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's saying they have to publish terms and conditions. It says they have to do it in detail. But
I agree with Andrew based on, you know, knowledge of donors. They may want to, they clearly may want to have their own criteria, and it's not clear that, that ICANN should be in the business of publishing exactly what that criteria is or that they should have to lock it in ahead of time. ICANN has to be fair, open, and transparent. The other donors don't have to be.
Avery?
Yeah, hi. I actually have, I think, a slightly different view on it. I think that while ICANN doesn't have to publish their standards at all, their standards should be published, and I think ICANN has to know, and those people do have to publish their standards somewhere for ICANN to be sending them applicants. I mean, to be sending them information and such. So I think they do have to state them somewhere. I don't think it's ICANN's responsibility to state it, but I think it has to be, you know, transparent within their own application processes, that that ICANN should not be facilitating somebody going into a black box. They don't know what it is. Certainly they can go there on their own. Certainly the funders can find them on their own. But if ICANN is facilitating something, it should be facilitating into something open and transparent. Thanks.
Alan?
I have a question for Avery. Does that imply in your mind that the criteria is cut and dry and that if the applicant meets the criteria, then they must be accepted, otherwise they will be rejected? Or does it allow discretion that says the donor can select the top two or put a total of $100,000 into it, but not exceed that in terms of their donation into the
no.
process?
And implication is always in my mind, but inferences in someone else's. But no, I'm not saying that there has to be a, you know, a point system by which they can judge themselves, and even those are subjective when you get right down to it. But I think it has to say, you know, you need to be from Bulgaria, and you need to this, and you need to that. In other words, they have to describe what their class is.
But they're allowed to make this judgment
they
call
have to make their judgments,
that, on
of
which
course.
They actually choose to support and which they don't.
Everybody makes judgments. Even our SARP is going to be making judgments
based
on criteria.
Exactly, that was the point I was going to make. Okay, as long as the wording implies that they can give the overall guidelines but aren't giving a commitment to fund if you meet the criteria, I have no problem with it. Thank you.
That's what I mean.
Andrew?
Okay, so I think maybe what we're talking about in the end is degree, because I think if we all accept the idea that there should be some sort of transparency. I think it's certainly more important if there's any ICANN co-financing on the line. If there's not co-financing, it effectively, in my mind, moves to more of an area where you've got it's a two-party transaction between the receiver and the group, whether that be a foundation or a corporate or whoever that is offering the service. I guess the point that I'm trying to make is only that there may be a situation where it's a little bit arbitrary almost, you know, where it might be that it's the Nigerian trust fund that only supports work in Nigeria. But what if it's just a group that is making an appeal and they say we'd really like to get support, they happen to meet somebody who would be willing to offer them support and convince them to support that program. Would this kind of a criteria system preclude that? Does it make sense? I'm just trying to leave it as though I understand the desire to make it visible. I'm just trying to see if we can create the flexibility that we want so that we don't miss out on anybody who might be wanting to propose.
Andrew, it's Alan. The scenario you just described, if someone finds someone, can't they do it? And the answer is yes, but not if they're brokered by ICANN, there's got to be a little bit higher level of transparency.
Okay, maybe it's just a question of degree. As long as it's published somewhere what they're looking for, and what you're suggesting then, Alan, is that it would be open to other candidates who fill the same...
It would be open to, no guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
All the criteria says is don't bother applying unless, you know, if you're not, you know, a Nigerian epileptic.
Mm-hmm. You can always write the key.
All Nigerian epileptics, but we may.
And the truth of the matter is that criteria can always be written if you really have one candidate in mind. But at the very minimum, it should be something that the world can see. I'm comfortable with that.
Okay. I think maybe Rob wants to summarize the discussion about this and have some questions. Rob?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Please tell me if this modification in paragraph 59 works for you all. It would start with some new wording. To ensure transparency of the ICAM process, comma, the working group agreed that non-financial contributors should publish the general parameters, terms, and conditions that go with their offer for support. Those contributors would not be precluded from offering different levels of support to different classes or types of applicants. For example, providing da-da-da-da-da. Does that language take us in the direction that you all have discussed?
Rob, it's Alan. I think that's very close. It should imply they also have the discretion to say no, and that may just be a very, very minor change to what you have. What you just read out sounds pretty good, to me anyway.
My instinct would be, you know, a footnote that says, you know, obviously, you know, can't bind these parties, and they, you know, the financial contributors have the capability, now I'm not reading, I'm just brainstorming, are responsible for the final decisions or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
You've captured what I'm trying to say. We'll now trust you to go draft something and we'll look at it.
All right, thank you.
Okay. I don't see any objection or disagreement. Okay, so we are 10 minutes after the call. Maybe if we can finish with one or two comments.
Oh, there's a paragraph 60 change, I see.
60? Yeah.
I see several comments on 60.
Yeah, my suggestion was that we end with those comments. So we
okay.
And then after we may adjourn the call. So, but the problem, I think Andrew, who made the comments, is left the call.
Well, the first one's Avery.
Avery?
Yeah.
Avery?
Yeah, I'm here. Okay, on 60, I had to go back to the clean version because I was looking at the red line version. I think beholden is I called it a weak term. I'm not suggesting a necessary change to it, but I guess I'm identifying it as weak so that we don't weaken it further. But I think obligated or indebted are good terms too. So I'm fine with leaving beholden. I'm fine with obligated, indebted as perhaps being better terms. So feel free to change the word to either of those two from my point of view. Thanks.
I would use reliant, not beholden.
I think that's even weaker.
Avery, doesn't this term mean to be dependent?
No, it means you get down on your knees and kiss their feet because they're so good to you.
Yeah, that's exactly what it means, and I think that
I don't like that term.
Okay, but it's weaker than enslaved by.
Let's go for enslaved by. Yeah, okay.
Indentured too.
I don't think we should be editorializing.
And that's why obligated is fine.
as I say. I wasn't looking to strengthen it unless somebody tries to weaken it.
Okay, Avery. Obligated sounds expressing the meaning, but still politically correct, so...
Yeah, and you know me, I'm always in favor of being politically correct.
Okay. So, if there is no any disagreement on this, and that hope that you all got that, so maybe we can move to the next comment, Avery?
The next one's not mine. It says, it's Andrew's, although I guess I note something on it, but...
That gives you the right to talk.
Rob, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, this was really a continuation of the Beholden discussion in which, you know, Andrew said, I don't really know if this is where we want to go. Then Carlton, you know, Avery commented, then Carlton added the sentence that I flagged there. So Carlton added as edits, this has the risk of undermining the principal objective of this initiative and, if embraced, must be with the full knowledge of this risk. And so the question is, you know, with Andrew gone, Avery, do you think this addresses that concern?
Yeah, I think it, and once again, I think it's a politically correct, in the middle, not quite pablum statement that says, beware of this. So, yeah, I think that's fine. And obviously I can't speak from Andrew, but it doesn't get rid of the, you know, yes, the helping hand from Big Brother does not mean that he will steal from you in perpetuity. He might really be a good guy, so let's not prevent it completely. I really am not totally political correct on this subject, I admit. So, yeah,
it's Alan. I like the idea of encouraging, I'm not sure notify is the right word, but encouraging CCTLD operators to step up to this. I think we take the chance of alienating people who may well be good guys and want to help by using strong terms here, and I worry about that.
I don't. I don't think any genuine good guy is going to be offended by the knowledge that there are many, many bad guys out there, and they're one of the exceptions.
Okay.
I think it will prevent the wolf in sheep's clothing, though, or may.
Okay.
Bad guy masquerading as a good guy.
Okay, Avery.
I'll shut up now.
Avery, I didn't ask you to shut up, but just yeah. Okay, I guess there is no disagreement here. Rob, you want to clarify something?
Yes, sir. I just want to ask you, in your chair capacity, a process question. In the past, this is on Fridays, this has been a one-hour call. You're being very productive. Typically, you've had a drafting call after the main call. You've made tremendous progress. You're 60% through the document. There's probably still another 8 to 10 substantive comments left. I don't know if you want to continue, and the folks that can stay for the next half hour of what would typically be a drafting call, or whether you wanted to just adjourn, do the drafting, and then convene the whole group again on Tuesday and finish the job. Up to you.
Rob, I think it's better to finish for this call. Maybe we can add 15 minutes and to make more progress in comments, and instead we can cancel the draft team call. So, but even if we have draft team call, it can be really short. So,
for some of us, it's going to have to be really short.
Yeah. I am asking that this call be short. yes, Tijani?
Thank you. It's a general comment. I have noted that my comments are not reflected on this version, neither in the modification of the text, nor in the comments. So I don't know why. It's not a problem for me, but I will keep speaking about anything I don't agree with, and they will send an alternative text for some parts that I do think that we need to change them in this way. Thank you.
Okay. Maybe I don't think there is any. There was any intent to prevent you to integrate your comments. Maybe Rob or Seth can reply to that. I'm not sure. Or maybe your comments are just go along with others, so and they are integrated just one comment. Rob,
We're just about to get to what we just finished comment 12. We've got. In about four pages, Tijani, some comments that you make on page 32, then some comments you make on page 34. I know we had a separate email discussion where we had some formatting issues, but I thought that we had captured, you know, because this is now the three or four versions since the last set of edits. So, again, my apologies if I've missed something in the formats, like comments on a comment, but I would hope that during the conversations we've been having that you've been expressing those thoughts as we reach those areas. Again, my apologies if I've missed something in the comments on comments.
No problem. I will send them again by email this time. And you can notice, for example, that you captured my remark about the formatting text, but not about the substance inside the same paragraph. So that's my big concern. So it's not a problem. I will send you an alternative text, and I hope it will be either integrated if there is a consensus or at least mentioned in the comments.
Great, thanks.
Okay. So, what is the next comment?
The next one is comment 13, which is the heading right between paragraphs 61 and 62. Alan said, although I support the intent of this section, the timing is problematic. The new GTLD application is filed must give sufficient indication of the RSP to allow ICANN to evaluate their credentials. How can this be done in a scenario where there is just an intent to create the RSP? And then Evan had suggested some rewrite to that heading, but I don't know if the rewrite of the heading actually addressed your timing concern, Alan.
Provide innovative approach.
Sorry, I'm just reading it. I don't really care about the heading. I put the comment on the heading because it was in reference to the section. So the question is, if the section is still saying people should be able to and are supported for saying, gee, I really want to build a registry, I think that implies a weak TLD application, which SART might, you know, we may support, but I don't think ICANN is going to support it. But I'm not very closely familiar with this. It may not be until an application is approved that ICANN then goes and audits the registry. I'm not sure. So I don't know whether my concern was real. I was just raising a flag to make sure that what we're talking about did not create a catch-22 situation. What we're saying we're going to support is not possible, not viable. But I haven't done my homework to know whether that is really a concern or not. So I bow to someone who really understands the GTLD process, and, you know, Carla comes to mind with a long history in it more than me, or Karen Lentz, who I don't know if she's on this call.
Mm-hmm.
And what would you need from them to satisfy you in this? On this,
if we're advocating that this process, the whole support process, be encouraged to support a registry in the making, the question is, will that by definition mean the application was going to be rejected in the real evaluation part of it, of the application itself? I just don't know that. If one never looks at who the registry is and what their capabilities are until the day or week before it's time to sign a contract, it may not be a problem. If that part of the evaluation is early in the process, it could be problematic. That's the issue I was raising. I don't know the answer because I've not studied the evaluation process at that level of detail. Avery has her hand up, so she apparently has.
Yes, I was going to ask Avery to...
Yeah, obviously I'm not the expert that Kurt, Karen, or Carla, or any of them would be. However, I have been studying this, and while certainly one can argue that having a registry that is an incumbent and knows how to do all this stuff, including the new stuff in it, can be helpful in an application, it is not required. If the answers to the technical stuff are complete and proper and knowledgeable, then the testing of the technical capabilities is at the end of the process. So, yes, you're taking a chance that when you come to the, okay, everything's been decided, and now, you know, before going live, we have to test, IANA has to do its, are you a viable registry, and do you have the viable operations? That does come at the end of the process, and you can fail that. And, of course, one of the things that, you know, incumbent registries sometimes say is, and you're more likely to fail that if we haven't helped you, which is, of course, possibly true. But the requirement is not there till then. And so I think knowledgeable answering of questions would give people a year or at least half a year to get everything else cranking up if that was what was in their plan and they had a coherent plan for how they were going to do that. Thanks.
Thank you, Avery. We have Adan, and then Krista.
Okay, if that indeed is okay, and presumably ICANN would allow, you know, if you say I'm using ABC Registry, which we're going to build, and we want some help, and everyone says, yes, we're going to help you, and when it comes time to put up or shut up at the end of the process, ABC Registry was never incorporated, assuming one can at that point go to, Neustar or in deference to our next speaker, OSS Registry, and say, fine, you know, we were hoping to do it in Rwanda. We can't. We'll do it in some other place. And as long as everyone, you know, ICANN is going to be willing to accept that, then I have no problem with this whole thing, and I raised a red flag, which isn't important.
That would probably be hard to do it at the end.
Well...
To fail and then do something different. That I'm not.
No, not fail. You know, you just come to the point where you say, you know, where you, it's got time to point someone to the URL for the registry and it doesn't exist yet. You know, if ICANN is flexible enough to allow someone to switch registries, which they could a year after deployment, then I don't think there's a problem with it.
Thank you, Adam. Krista.
Thanks. This is Krista. And thanks for that, Alan. my understanding of how the technical questions are addressed, and I want to clarify this because I think there might be a misconception. It's a technical response. So it doesn't say for somebody, for instance, so let's take applicant support out of the conversation for 1 second. Somebody that has... signed a contract with OSS Registry to provide the back-end services, it doesn't, and Carla, keep me honest here, the application doesn't necessarily say OSS Registry is who's doing this. There's a response. There's a technical response to a technical question. So in this scenario, coming back into applicant support, what they're going to need for the application is a technical response. And if there isn't an actual provider, that could be challenging for them. I don't really know. Because right now what happens with applicants that are outsourcing is they're getting the technical response from their outsourced provider. So that's the only gap I see in what, like, I agree with what Aubrey said. I agree with what Alan's saying. I just see that there might be, it might be a little problematic for these supported applicants if they don't have somebody that can provide them with a technical response for the application. Hope that made sense.
Yeah. Yes, Aubrey?
Yeah, and I totally agree. And there are groups of people that I know of are in the process of gearing up to be able to help people with those technical responses. So that is the kind of aid that can be provided, including by some of the incumbents and new guys that are out there offering registry services. One of the services, the non-financial support services they can offer, is to help people answer these technical questions properly. I totally agree with Krista that someone that's never run one of these things or isn't a really advanced technical person could answer them just by sitting down, reading the application, and writing an essay. So, indeed, one of the kinds of non-financial support that I know of a couple people that are gearing themselves up to try and do is to help people with answering these technical questions. But she's absolutely right. Without somebody to help them or without having somebody that, you know, someone has come back from living in the U.S. and was an operations manager for a registry and is now back home in Botswana and can do it, you know, it would be hard. Thanks.
Thank you, Avery. Hello?
Yeah, it sounds like I raised a red herring, and for that I apologize. I thought it was something that we needed to talk about. What I'm hearing right now is you are not in the application committing to a specific registry, and they're going to hold you to that. So if I think I'm going to be using AusRegistry, but 6 months from now AusRegistry decides the Internet was a fad and they're closing up business, presumably I'll be able to switch to Neustar or someone else, and my application won't have to be discarded completely because a vendor I was looking at has decided to change their business plan. It sounds like it's not an issue, and perhaps we just need to go ahead. Thank you.
Okay. So now we are at 1 hour and half of this call. Hope that we can wrap in just 5 minutes. Krista?
Yeah. Let's go ahead. Rather, Carla said, Alan, you're correct, but I'm not sure when she typed that, so I don't know with response to which comment it was.
So maybe you are correct on everything, Alan. So,
for the record, Alan, there's no chance of that happening.
I like taking examples which are way out in left field.
Yes, I know. I just want to clarify.
Maybe I'm going on record as saying the Internet is a fad and should be discarded.
Okay. Yeah, so building on what Avery and Alan are just saying, I just want to sort of bring it to conclusion. It's answer now. They can answer now and build it later. I think the only, again, I just want to make sure that we're clear on this so that when this gets rolled out that other people are clear on it, is that the answers that are provided are going to have to be the answers that, so if a technical provider has a certain infrastructure and that's what you submit, and then later on, actually this is a question for Carla maybe even, and then later on you have the infrastructure is very, very different from what was in the application, I don't know how that impacts them in the testing phase. That would be the only thing I'd be worried about. But again, I agree that they can, I completely agree, they can provide the answer now, it has to pass criteria, and they can, you know, build it later. So, thank you.
Thank you, Krista. I think Carla wants to answer and to clarify. Carla?
Hi. So my understanding is that when you go through the first phase of the evaluation, they are going to look at all of the technical answers. And once you reach the delegation phase, there's a more in-depth kind of review. So at this point, if an applicant chooses another provider, I don't think there is a problem. I don't believe there is a problem as it is in the application now. It's just that it has to be coherent. Everything that was answered has to be coherent. You know, and he still has to prove the technical capability at this point because the testing is more in-depth. But we do realize that there is a possibility that someone might change business partners within this time frame. Does that help?
I saw that Alan agreed with you, so I guess, yeah.
I wasn't agreeing, but saying I like the answer.
Okay. Okay. It's like Facebook-like. Okay. Rob?
Yes, sir. One, before you adjourn this day's work, I had one final question on this section, and I think that provides a nice sort of wrap-up, and then you can just start with candidate eligibility requirements on your last call. And the question is, right before, and this is on right after paragraph 64 on page 30 of the clean version, there was something inserted very early in the process, I guess, that said, appendix blank provides a sample list of potential provider types, not exhaustive or complete, that the working group has reviewed during its deliberations. Seth showed me a rough Excel spreadsheet that I guess Elaine Pruis had provided at one point earlier in your conversations. The question here would be, do you see a value in appending that that sheet to the report, or do you think that the list that has been provided in this section is sufficient?
Any comment?
This is Rob. Absent any comments, and because I think Elaine had, during the first call that I joined, I think it was her voice contributing to the list in now paragraph 63, my recommendation would be not to, you know, add to the 60-plus pages of this package already with another appendix.
Okay, Rob, I was just asking if those who are still in the call have any comment or question, but yes, Avery, I think Avery was in that.
Always team. Have a comment. I was actually, just as Rob was saying, don't put it in another appendix. I was thinking of where else could you put it? Or do you think another paragraph describing a possible mechanism? I think a possible mechanism is best in an appendix, but, you know, put it on a wiki? I think that then gets just as messy. But, you know, a wiki is a good place for a mechanism. An appendix is a good place for a mechanism. But I don't think it should be in a paragraph necessarily. Thanks.
Thank you. And it's not even a mechanism. It's just a list.
Oh, because it was called a mechanism.
Okay.
We'll look at that one more time and evaluate based on what you suggested, Aubrey. Thanks.
Okay. I guess we reached the time that we need to. We should adjourn this call. Some people are already leaving. Thank you for attending. We are doing a lot of progress and hope that we get a clean version as soon as possible with correction and edition, and then hopefully we can continue on Tuesday. So we have still some substantive comments. And also the executive summary. I guess that's all and can be done in the next call. So, thank you, everybody.
We're all adjourning now. No drafting call. Is that correct?
If you want, maybe for 10 minutes or 50 minutes, but I'm not sure that's really needy. And then we need that.
Rob, Seth, I'm happy to go away, but...
Oh, do I have an opportunity just to say, go away, Alan, on a public call?
You do, certainly. With great pleasure, it'll be received.
I think you guys did a good job of spending an extra 40 minutes doing additional drafting, so I don't think an extra 10 minutes would add anything at this point. We're good. We've got our
instructions. Thank you all, then, with capital letters.
Yep. Okay. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye. Good weekend.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Have a nice weekend. Operator, please stop the recording.
Thank you.